भगवते वासुदेवाया। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया। जय जय श्री चैतन्य, जय नित्यानंद, जय द्वैत चंद्र, जय गौर भक्तवृंद। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम, कैंटो 4, चैप्टर 6, टेक्स्ट नंबर 1 एंड 2, एंड ऑल्सो वी विल डिस्कस, वी विल रीड टेक्स्ट 3 एंड 4 एंड टुगेदर डिस्कस। I'll read from the first verse onwards. Maitreya vacha atadeva gana sarve rudrani kai parajita shulapatisha nistrimsha gada parigamu dagarai sanchina bhinna sarvanga shartrik sabhya bayakula savyambuve namaskritya karneyai Attrition. All the priests and other members of the sacrificial assembly and all the demigods, having been defeated by the soldiers of Lord Shiva, here. After offering him obeisances, they began to speak in detail of all the events which had taken place. Text number 3. Upalabhya puraivaitat bhagavan abja sambhava narayanascha vishvatma nakashya dvaram iyatu. Both Lord Brahma and Vishnu had already known that such events would occur in the sacrificial arena of Daksha, and knowing beforehand, they did not go to the sacrifice. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swamishta Prabhupada. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.26, Vedaham Samitittani Vartamanani Charjuna. The Lord says, I know everything that has happened in the past and is going to happen in the future. Lord Vishnu is omniscient and He therefore knew what would happen at Daksha's sacrificial arena. For this reason, neither Narayana nor Lord Brahma attended the great sacrifice performed by Daksha. Text 4. Dadakarnya vibhupraha tejiyasi kritagasi kshemaya tatra sabuyan na prayena bubushatam. Translation, when Lord Brahma heard everything from the demigods and the members who had attended the sacrifice, he replied, you cannot be happy in executing a sacrifice if you blaspheme a great personality and thereby offend his lotus feet. You cannot have happiness in that way. Purport. Lord Brahma explained to the demigods that although Daksha wanted to enjoy the results of fruitive sacrificial activities, it is not possible to enjoy when one offends a great personality like Lord Shiva. It was good for Daksha to have died in the fight, because if he had lived, he would have committed such offenses at the lotus feet of great personalities again and again. According to Manu's law, when a person commits murder, punishment is beneficial for him, because if he is not killed, he might commit more and more murders and therefore be entangled in his future lives for having killed so many persons. Therefore, the king's punishment of a murderer is appropriate. If those who are extremely offensive are killed by the grace of the Lord, that is good for them. In other words, Lord Brahma explained to the demigods that it was good for Daksha to have been killed. So we will discuss these four verses today. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin iti namine नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्णा चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 6 टेक्स्ट नंबर 1 through 4। This is a chapter with the title Brahma Satisfies Lord Shiva. So the context we are in is that after Daksha humiliated and after the whole drama created by Daksha to insult Lord Shiva and Sati not abiding by the suggestion of Lord Shiva, and finally she got insulted by Daksha, she killed herself, and Lord Shiva became very, very upset about this whole turn of events. And the entire 5th chapter described about the frustration exhibited by the Lord. And in this chapter, we are going to see how Brahma is responding to the situation. And eventually the new turn of events where he is supporting Lord Shiva's stands, and eventually Vishnu is going to appear in the next chapter and there are a lot of interesting lessons. So these 4 shlokas that we just read explains a very fundamental an important part of our devotional journey. And as a part of this churning of this particular set of 4 verses, we will discuss some set of realizations to churn more. Lord Brahma and Vishnu did not participate in the fire sacrifice that Daksha was organizing. So it is very, very important to note the purpose of every activity that we perform. If we do not understand the purpose of our action, then the entire action becomes futile. Daksha performed this fire sacrifice for some specific benefit that he wanted to get, and even though he made all the extravagant arrangement and so many wonderful preparations, feast, spent a lot of money, invited whomever he thought he should be attending, he did not understand the crux, the basis of performing a fire sacrifice. In our discussion today, we will share different sets of episodes and try to drive home a very basic point that Lord Brahma has explained in verse number 4.
Lord Brahma addressed the entire audience that one cannot be happy in executing a sacrifice if you blaspheme a great personality and thereby offend his lotus feet. When Krishna was in Vrindavan, he had asked the cowherd boys to go and beg alms from the Brahmanas who were performing five sacrifices. So these Brahmanas who are performing five sacrifices, they were actually calling out for Lord Vishnu's name and giving oblations to the Lord. But when Lord Vishnu had sent his servants to ask for offerings, they did not realize and they did not understand where the request is coming from. On the contrary, when the cowherd boys went to the wives of these Brahmanas, they immediately responded with utmost love and urgency, and they cooked a very loving feast for the Supreme Lord. So our first realization is, in the journey of Krishna consciousness, we may be so busy in so many activities, we may be spending a lot of money, we may be putting in a lot of efforts to put up a very good show. But if our intelligence is lost, if we do not have a proper understanding of Krishna consciousness, then our entire endeavor will not be acknowledged. It happens because of our so-called knowledge, our so-called high parentage, so-called wealth we have amassed, and so-called beauty a person possess. Janma Aishwarya Shruta Shri Bihi. Mother Kunti says that because of these four, our intelligence gets lost. And this is not exempted when we are practicing Krishna consciousness also. So if someone's intelligence is covered by a thought of me being born to a Brahmana parent, high parentage, me having lots of wealth and followers, my external beauty and strength, and I'm very intelligent, so none of them can give access to the real essence of our devotion. Daksha became proud over his position because he was Prajapati. He was very proud because Brahma empowered him to expand. So with so much of opulence around him, and also with diplomacy and hypocrisy filled in his heart, his intelligence got completely doomed, that he forgot why and who is the beneficiary of a fire sacrifice. Vishnu is also called as Yajnapati. Yajna is actually meant to satisfy Vishnu. And Vishnu is satisfied when his devotees are satisfied. So if we do not satisfy or please the devotees of the Lord, we can't satisfy the Lord. And if he can't satisfy the Lord, the purpose of a fire sacrifice is simply waste of time. There are a few episodes that I would like to share to substantiate this particular realization. Srila Prabhupada was in Hong Kong once, and there was a Vyasa Puja organized for Srila Prabhupada, and the entire Vyasa Puja ceremony got over, and the organizers forgot to offer Pushpanjali, or in the arrangements of the Vyasa Puja ceremony, Pushpanjali was not included. Srila Prabhupada was so upset and said that one of the important components of the Vyasa Puja celebration is to offer Pushpanjali to the bona fide spiritual master. And since you guys did not do it and forgot to do it, this Vyasa Puja celebration stands null and void. If you want, you may have to redo it again. So the entire Vyasa Puja celebration was reorganized the following day with the Pushpanjali celebration. It's extremely important to note that in our devotional journey, certain finer nuances, which is actually the backbone of the entire devotional activities, if they are missed, then it may apparently appear that we are doing devotion, but actually we will not be contributing towards our devotional journey. The second episode, to substantiate this point of how we should make sure that the devotees are pleased, to have Lord pleased, to have the purpose of our fire sacrifice successful. This Gopala Chappal, he happened to have insulted Srivas Thakur. So Srivas Thakur actually did not take offense. But then the Lord took offense. And as a reaction to the offense committed to Srivas Thakur, Gopala Chappal developed leprosy. He developed such a serious leprosy that he couldn't control the pain of the disease. He tried everything possible under the roof to get cure for his disease, but he was not getting cured. So he went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he had asked for forgiveness and blessings. And Mahaprabhu, who is known as Mahavadanya, who is very merciful and who is munificent, he did not support Gopal Chappal. He said that, "I'm sorry, not only this life, even if you take life after life after life, I will not bestow my benedictions upon you. Unless and otherwise, Srivas Thakur forgives you." So if at all somebody can help you to get rid of your disease condition, you may have to go back to Srivas Thakur and ask for forgiveness. So Gopala Chappal went to Srivas Thakur, asked for forgiveness, fell at his feet, cried, repented. Srivas Thakur, as humble he was, he said, "My dear Gopal, I did not take any offense to what you have said to me or what you have done to me. But still, for your own purification, I would like to offer a suggestion. He said, you please go to Purushottam Das Thakur. This Purushottam Das Thakur to help you get it off your disease situation. Gopala Chappal went to Purushottam Das Thakur, and Purushottam Das Thakur told Gopala Chappal that for the rest of your life, dedicate to serve Vaishnavas and glorify them. And this will be your life's goal. And having given that target to Gopala Chappal, Purushottam Das Thakur initiated him as Devaki Nandan Das. And this Devaki Nandan Das actually compiled a very interesting song glorifying Vaishnavas. So it is a very famous Gaudiya Vaishnava song, not so famous within his ISKCON circle, but then it is very famous, and this song, in that song, Devaki Nandan Das has glorified Vaishnavas. I have shared this before in this class, maybe a few months before. I'll just repeat the song. The name of the song is Vrindavana Vasi Jata Vaishnavera Gana. It's a song with around 10 stanzas and 11, 12 stanzas. Probably you can search it in Vedabase. And in that song, Devaki Nandan Das has very nicely mentioned few important points. He says, Paya chene hoi bene prabhu jatadas, sabara charana vandon dante kari ghas. Holding a straw between my teeth, I submit at the feet of all the servants of Mahaprabhu that were or will be. Hoya chene, hoi bene. So it is not that I am offering obeisances only to Vrindavan devotees, Mayapur devotees, Neelachal devotees, and devotees living in overseas, wherever they are, but I am also offering my obeisances to all the devotees who used to be and who are going to be. And then he says, Brahmanda tarite shakti tare jane jane e veda purane gunagaya jevasune. I have heard their glorification in the Vedas and Puranas, which proclaim that each one of his devotees has the shakti to deliver an entire universe. So Brahmanda tarite shakti, the devotee has got a potency to deliver the entire universe. Mahaprabhu Gana Sabha Patita Pavan Tailo Be Mui Papi Lo Inu Sharan. Hearing of the glory, I have come with great eagerness to surrender to Mahaprabhu's Bhaktas, who are all Patita Pavana, for sinners like me. And finally, he submits that they award the perfection of all desires, including freedom from death, and even that rarest treasure not found in this world, prema. Sarvavancha siddhihaya yama bandha chute, jagate durlabhaya prema dana lute, manera vasana purna charite hai, Devaki Nandana Das Kailo Bekai. All of one's pure heartfelt desires will be fulfilled without delay. Devaki Nandana Das, intensely eager for this, glorifies and prays to the Vaishnavas. So the point is that unless we realize this part of pleasing the Vaishnavas being the crux and the core of our devotional journey, our devotional journey becomes completely a fake or shrama eva hi kevalam, simply waste of time. And the third and important part is that in our devotional journey, whenever we do pratishtha ceremony, deity installation ceremony, whenever we do fire sacrifice, whenever we do initiation, whenever we do different types of pancharatrika vidhi, the first and foremost respect is offered to the spiritual master and the assembled Vaishnavas. It is explained that the Lord agreed to come and reside inside the Archa Vigraha form only because of the request of his pure devotee who is making the request. So this entire fire sacrifice will not be successful if we disrespect, if we do not offer proper glorification towards great personalities. So, one Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj was going to perform a installation ceremony in Mayapur. So when he was visiting the temple to perform the ceremony, he gathered all the brahmacharis assembled and was inquiring about everybody. And he found one of the brahmachari missing. And he asked for the brahmachari, where was he? They said that because of so-and-so mistake, they listed a big list of mistakes that the brahmachari made. So the temple authorities said that we threw him out of the temple. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj said, unless and otherwise this brahmachari is called back, I am not going to perform the installation ceremony. Just before making that statement, he said, all of you have listed so many mistakes of somebody. Has he not having one good quality to be modified? Then some devotees said that, no Gurudev, he sings very nice kirtan. He said, why have you not addressed that particular quality? So then he made this, unless that devotee is back, I won't perform the ceremony. So everybody got into a serious anxiety, so they wouldn't know where to go and search. So all the brahmacharis, all the devotees in the temple, they went in different directions to search for this devotee. And some of them, they grouped together to find out that this guy used to work in a watch repair shop before joining the temple. So probably he must have gone to the same profession or same place. So they went to different watch repairing shops and they found him in one of the shops. And when they went and told him that Guru Maharaj wants you to come back to the temple, this devotee started to cry and weep and said that I know I have been committing offenses. But at the same time, when I left from the temple, I realized what a stupid I was, and I realized how difficult this material world is, and I realized that how great the devotees association was, and I was constantly repenting and longing to get back to the temple but didn't have the courage come and ask you all to accept me back. So thank you so much to have called me back to the temple. I will see to that. I will serve you all nicely. So these four different points very clearly establish that what is the basis of our Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada's suggestion on Guru Vyasa Puja, Gopala Chappal's episode, what I mentioned about the Pancharatrika Vidhi's basic requirement is a Brahmana, a Vaishnava, a spiritual master are supposed to be worshipped and respected for the Lord or the presiding deity to participate. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj's directive in embracing devotees. So in our devotional journey, hence, we should be very careful and give utmost importance to two things. One is holy name of the Lord. Second is the devotees of the Lord. If somebody takes care of these two things very nicely, rest everything pertaining to devotional life will automatically follow us. One devotee went to Srila Prabhupada and asked Srila Prabhupada, who is more important, book Bhagavata or devotee Bhagavata? Srila Prabhupada responded, devotee Bhagavata is more important because a devotee Bhagavata will tweak one's ears and drag them to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And the last part of the first realization is that Krishna se tomara, Krishna dite para, tomara shakati ache, amito kangala, Krishna Krishna boli, dai tava pache pache. This is a very famous prayer. So the point that I was trying to say is not new, not that we do not know, but we tend to overlook because of our getting colored because of our parentage, beauty, knowledge, and wealth that we possess. So in our devotional life, hence, we need to ensure that we never, ever, ever, ever judge a devotee, whether he is good or bad. That's not our duty. And even if that is a service that we are given for preaching mission, we need to be extremely careful and analyze before making a conclusion. Otherwise, Krishna won't come and the entire arrangement and the service that we do will be Shrama Evahi Kevalam. As Lord Brahma said, that me and Vishnu did not participate because we knew this place is going to be a place full of offenses. So hence our first realization, which is obvious, which is known, but it is reiterated here with all these different episodes, is we should definitely be wary of Vaishnava Aparad and Nama Aparad. And this is very theoretically known to us, but because of our forgetfulness, we tend to forget this every second moment. When we talk about it, we remember it. The moment we step out of devotee Sangha, we forget it. The second realization is, if I have committed a Vaishnava Aparad, what is that we are supposed to be doing? We commit Aparad by knowingly, unknowingly, by consciously, unconsciously, willingly, unwillingly. This, because of our materialistic association, we tend to commit aparad. Aparad means against Radha, against Srimati Radharani. So hence, each and every one of us need to have a frame of mind to always be ready to ask for forgiveness and serve Vaishnavas. Yes, yes, Tri Sandhyam Vande Guru Sri Charanarvindam. So the second realization is that as a sadhaka practicing Krishna consciousness, we should have a frame of mind to constantly ask for forgiveness and constantly be ready to serve Vaishnavas unconditionally, and that is our solace and that is our rescue from the aparas that we may have committed. And in this point, I would like to make a specific note that some of us may make generic statements that, my dear devotees, please forgive me. That is not what is expected. I mean, that's good, but that's not enough. We all need to learn to be specific enough, and we need to be contemplative enough if we have offended, hurt a devotee. We should better go to the devotee and ask for forgiveness. If you ask for forgiveness to everybody else but not to the devotee, still will not relieve us from the effect of that offense. So we need to be very clear in our devotional journey. Hence, we need to be conscious, cautious, and be aware of whom are we dealing with and how are we dealing with. Hence, our spiritual journey is more about how am I conducting myself in the association of devotees rather than how others are conducting themselves in our Sangha. So with that frame of mind, we should be ready to ask for forgiveness, and which means that we be aware how am I dealing with others. An interesting fact is, the moment we ask for forgiveness, a Vaishnava is so kind that he forgives us. So the strength of our devotion is not because of our asking for forgiveness. The strength or the support or the solace is that Vaishnavas don't carry your offense. They are always ready to forgive us once we ask for forgiveness. So asking for forgiveness is considered as a very great quality of a practicing devotee. Hence, the word sorry is a very powerful word for a devotional journey. Sorry and thank you are two interesting words which will bail us out from this vicious circle of materialistic world, especially when we are dealing with Vaishnavas. But we need to know that the word sorry should not be misused and the word thank you cannot be used diplomatically. Daksha is in this trap because of his diplomacy, and he is going to be bailed out because of the mercy that is shown upon him by, again, Lord Shiva, Brahma and Vishnu. So the second realization here is that in our devotional journey, we should be ready all the time to be asking for forgiveness. And to help us do that, the prayer that we just sung, the song that we sung, helps us to be in that frame of mind. Vrindavana vasi jata vaishnave ragaan ratame vandana koli sabara charan neelachala vasi jata mahaprabhul gaan bhumite podiya vandan sabara charan. So this entire song is talking about how am I repeatedly offering my obeisances to Vrindavan vasis, Neelachala vasis, Mayapur vasis, Gaudadeshe vasis, for, you know, devotees settle overseas, devotees going to be, devotees where, devotees who are delivering the entire universe. So this is the frame of mind that we all need to, you know, get into. So that humble state of mind is something that is expected of us, and hence, humility is not about us. Humility is in spite of us. that we need to make sure that we try to tell that humility is not about thinking low about ourselves. It is about thinking about Vaishnavas in our life and their support in our lives for our existence in Krishna consciousness. It may be so that a Vaishnava's presence and support in our life may be for a few moments, but those few moments are good enough for our entire journey. It is like if you are on a highway when there are no directions with you, you want to go to a particular destination, support that you receive from a person on the highway to give you the right direction matters a lot. Without that few moments of this direction, we would have reached the wrong destination. So the entire journey, probably that few moments spent with that Vaishnava, or with that person who gives you direction, and if we take it seriously, we reach the right destination. That is why lava matra sadhu sangeer sarva siddhi hoy. So with that sadhu, we need to have a very humble frame of mind. Hence, Vishnava Chakravarti Thakura says that we need to wear this Trinatapi Sunichena verse as a garland around our neck, and holding our straw between our teeth, we need to ask for forgiveness to all those whom we have committed offense. And this is our everyday frame of mind. That is why Guru Puja is not only about glorifying the spiritual master. Guru Puja is also asking for forgiveness for the offense that we have unknowingly committed. And we should learn to knowingly, we should learn to ask for forgiveness for the offenses that we have knowingly committed, and we should stop doing them. This is our second realization. The third realization is a set of thoughts which will help us to map back our consciousness to ask for forgiveness. It is like what happens when we commit an offense. It's a kind of a flow chart to define how does fall down happen. Because many times we see great personalities, they must have performed a lot of activities in their devotional life, but still at a point in time they would be suffering. So that a small analysis being done on what happens and what is the sequential steps for fall down. Because fall down is a pretty heavy topic in a sadhaka's life. Because when I came to Krishna consciousness, I'm rising up from a Naradama platform. And when I'm slowly rising up, I need to be careful as I rise up, because the more I rise and the more I am careless, the more is the risk of my falling down and collapsing myself. So this flow chart that we are going to discuss will help us assess which stage we are in so that we can rescue ourselves from that. So this is just a logical set of thoughts, not the only way by which somebody will have to fall down. But then, this thoughts that we are going to share now will help us to assess where do we stand. So as I said, aparad, offense, begins when we consciously or unconsciously hurt a devotee. It is said in Kali Yuga, unless you commit an offense, unless you commit a sinful activity, you are not inflicted with the karma phala. But in case of Vaishnava aparad, even if we start to think bad about a Vaishnava, we have a reaction to that. So when somebody commits an offense to the lotus feet of devotees, the very first effect that we get is we develop a lethargy in our chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So if somebody offends a Vaishnava, then his natural inclination to chant the holy name of the Lord gets reduced. And if he's still not careful, the very next thing that happens, because of this reduced taste in the chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, this person will start to give importance to non-devotee association. He will try to explore various means and ways to substantiate why he needs more than devotee association. He or she will rationalize for my social life, for my healthy life, I need association of worldly minded people also. He may still chant, but then his inclination towards worldly association will increase. And when the association of worldly people increase, then one natural effect on that person will be that he will start to look Vaishnavas as any other normal human being. His perspective towards self-realized soul, his perspective towards spiritual master, his perspective towards Vaishnava will come down, and he will start to equate them to any other normal human being in his life. And because of his propensity to think like that, the next natural reaction is the devotional service that he had been given to, or he had been doing, or he had interest in, will anymore not look like devotional service. It will look like a job. It will look like a burden. It will look like any other activity. And hence, his perspective towards service will naturally become reduced, and eventually will go to think that this is any other activity. So, and when that happens, he will not see any difference between materialistic sangha and a spiritual sangha, and he will start drawing himself more and more towards materialistic sangha and start to criticize and start to find fault and start to offend explicitly. And in this process, his taste and involvement in chanting will tend towards negligible limit, and eventually he or she will give up chanting. So this logical flow, this stage, is a pretty logical and natural progression of thoughts and action for a person who offends a Vaishnava. Reduced taste in chanting and eventually to give up chanting, this flow is something that we could have seen in our own life and we see in others' lives. So an intelligent person is the one who needs to learn to fix a situation from others' life and not wait for debacle to happen in our own life. So the third realization, hence, is that fall down in our spiritual journey is inevitable if we are not careful in the path of Krishna consciousness, especially in avoiding Nama Aparad and Vaishnava Aparad. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his final days, was very, very upset to some of his disciples. But he told them that you are not even allowed to participate in my samadhi ceremony. So, to get that statement from a spiritual master is very heavy. And I'll just conclude with one small episode from Srila Prabhupada's life. I mean, Srila Prabhupada's interactions, which will help us to understand this particular subject matter of making sure the great personalities are not blasphemed. This devotee went to Srila Prabhupada and told Srila Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, I would like to divorce my wife." So Srila Prabhupada said that that is not allowed, that's against Vedic culture. So this devotee went on to argue with Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, but I am suffering and I will not be able to live with her." Srila Prabhupada still gave a negative response. And this person further told Prabhupada that, "No, Prabhupada, I can't, you know, manage this situation anymore." So this went back and forth for a while. And finally Srila Prabhupada said, "All right, you can divorce her." So all the devotees who were present, they were shocked. "But Srila Prabhupada, how come you allowed, how come you supported the divorce views?" Srila Prabhupada said that, "Actually speaking, this person has made up his mind to go ahead and doing divorce, whether I agree or not agree. When I realized that, I wanted to help him. If he asks me and I say no, and he still go ahead and come and divorce his wife, it will not only be breaking a Vedic principle, it is also breaking a devotional principle of disobeying the orders of the spiritual master. And for a person who disobey the orders of the spiritual master, will not get spiritual master for life after life after life. So at least I want to save that person from that gravest offense of disobeying the orders of the spiritual master. That's why I allowed him." So the message here is that one gets a spiritual master, one gets the association of devotees by causeless mercy of the Lord. And when those great personalities are blasphemed, then we are definitely walking very, very fast towards the royal road of disaster. So in our devotional journey, the two most important components, the two most important members are Nam Prabhu and Vaishnava Prabhu. So Nam Prabhu helps us getting the association of Vaishnava, and Vaishnava helps in getting association with the Nam. And these two combinations will give us the eternal access to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who do not take care of these two, their devotional creeper will be crippled. Until that point in time, they are fixed. Devotional journey is fully doomed. So Daksha, because of one gravest offense of committing against Lord Shiva, who is the greatest of the Vaishnavas, Vaishnavanam Yatha Sambhu, he has invited his own trouble. And this particular situation is pretty much possible, and hence we need to be very careful in our own devotional life. So to summarize our thoughts, our realizations for today, we share three sets of points. Number one is that Janma Aishwarya Shrutas Sribihi. These four are most dangerous when they are not properly handled, because they will blind a person's intelligence to an extent that they will offend a great Vaishnava. And our Krishna consciousness basis is in serving, satisfying, glorifying Vaishnavas in our life. And without that, our devotional journey is incomplete. The pastimes of Brahmanas and in Vrindavan, the pastime that I narrated about Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja ceremony in Hong Kong, Gopala Chappal's episode, and how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj dealt the situation of treating a Vaishnava. Srila Prabhupada said, "I spend 1 gallon of blood to make one person a devotee. Hence, we should make sure that we should not offend a Vaishnava. And what to speak of great personalities like Lord Shiva." Hence, in our devotional life, we need to be careful of those 4 components which can help us in our devotional life. But if they are not properly dealt, they can act against us. And the second realization is about be ready to ask for forgiveness and be ready to ask for specific forgiveness to specific devotees and not be judgmental. And we need to be understanding that devotees don't take offenses, and once we ask for forgiveness, we are forgiven, and that's our solace. And last realization that we spoke were about the systematic stages of fall down, from where it begins and where it ends. And the beginning point is aparad against Radharani, and the ending point is but staying away from Krishna and Krishna's holy name. So in this spiritual journey, Vaishnavas are important, and especially great Vaishnavas like Lord Shiva, demigods, Tulasi Maharani, Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, our own near and dear ones who are helping us in devotional journey, let us develop a humble frame of mind and try to serve them. Because the service opportunity that we are interested upon, we have come from them, and hence we are supposed to be indebted towards them. Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajana Anukula Bhakata Seva Parama Siddhi Prema Latikara Mula. Our pure devotion is definitely possible, and we get the dust from the lotus feet of pure devotees. And when we do devotion to them, when we serve them, our devotional creeper will grow very nicely within the heart of devotion. So with this, I end here. If there are any questions or comments, we can discuss. Hare Krishna. Granta Shiva Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. It's very, very nice class, Prabhu. I like the point, actually, you know, sometimes even we don't know who is a devotee, who is not devotee. In that case, how we can understand Prabhu? Yes.
Okay, basically the point is, one of the 4 points that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions in the Trinathapi Suni Chena is offering respects to others. So by design, we need not offend anybody, whether somebody is a devotee or not a devotee. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, there is a very nice prayer by Vrindavan Das Thakur. I was just sharing that on Monday when I gave the Chaitanya Charitamrita class. Anindaka hoi je, sakrit Krishna bhaje, satya satya mui tare, udhari lo hele. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, Anindaka hoi je, if somebody is not committing ninda, ninda means criticism, fault finding, anindaka hoije. And with that frame of mind, if somebody chants Sakrit Krishna Bhaje, then Mahaprabhu says, Satya, Satya, Muitare, Udhari Lohele. I promise, I deliver that person from the cycle of birth and death. So the request here is that as a spiritual student, we need not be judgmental, we need not be fault finding, we need not be offending. All we need to do is offer respects to everybody, understanding they all belong to Krishna, and hence we are just supposed to be respecting them as a true representative, as a true student of devotional life. So, in general, we don't even need to classify with respect to our dealings in terms of offering respect. Yes, with respect to heart-to-heart relationship, with respect to bhungte bojayate chaiva, sharing of confidential things, you can be choosy. But that has nothing to do with our general offering respects and not offending them. Because offending them puts our devotional life in danger. So a person who is respectful, his behavior, his characteristics will not only help his devotional life, that it will help everybody else who are with him, because a well-mannered, good-character person can win all the others to the spiritual path. So in our Krishna consciousness, we need to think that my respecting others has nothing to do with others' behavior. It is up to us on how do we perceive things. So offering respect has nothing to do with other person's position or a standard. Offering respect defines what standard you possess. Our standards define the activity of respect and has nothing to do with others. Hence, we need not worry whether other person is a devotee or not. By offering respects, that's considered as our culture, our devotional life is intact. And naturally, we will not commit offense when we are respectful. And if at all there are services that are given to us to evaluate a devotee or try to assess a devotee, then we can do it under the order of the spiritual master, but in a very, very careful manner. Hence, our basic sadhana includes not just chanting, it also includes taking care of these four components, Trinatapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahishuna, Amanina, Manadena. Am I making sense?
Yes, Prabhu. Even in this Lord Shiva and Daksha's case also, it's very difficult. The appearance of the Lord Shiva is totally different, and sometimes even we may commit devotee as a, we can may see the devotee as a material point of view, or like that devotee is doing service, he's so attractive, he's putting tilak, all these things, and then we may offend the devotees. Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhu. And
thank
also
you.
Very helpful, actually, in my case, I feel maybe we, it's a very cautious kind of lecture for me. I can be careful and then dealing with each and everybody with very nicely or carefully, not too often. And also I like the point you mentioned, very intimate dealing is separate, but respecting is each and everybody is different. Yes, thank you so much, Prabhu.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Anybody else has any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
You really brought this very, very amazing point, this last point. I really appreciate it. Just a little perspective. The amazing thing that Srila Prabhupada says that familiarity brings content, you know. So the potential, our potential, we deprive ourselves from our potential to see good in others. just because of little familiarity, by one day or one action or one thought, we deprive our potential to be respectful to everyone. So even in our family or society, we are suffering because of the familiarity syndrome, and we deprive ourselves to see the good in others, and just it's only hurting us spiritually. So the point you brought out is really, really very spot on. And to share the perspective, it's just the vision, kind of vision we have to be aware, sustain our awareness, that thinking of, because there's so much purification, so much adjustment, and so much upliftment is needed for myself. So I can think of my life, it's like the example given is like the black sheet, and the devotional touch which has been given by the causeless mercy of Krishna and Acharyas and Guru Vargas is the small dot on my life. But others are wearing, if I think like that, then I can see others wearing the white sheet. And even if a small black dot is seen, it should be overlooked. It has to be overlooked. I cannot. But my reflection of a black sheet goes on the others. And that's why what we should magnify is the good thing. And if magnification is needed, it is needed where it is useful for personal upliftment, and not to degrade myself by seeing the bad in others. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj, for your kind words. I just remembered a very interesting episode from Srila Prabhupada's one of the lectures. I may not be able to exactly repeat them, but I'll paraphrase this. Srila Prabhupada was giving a Bhagavatam class, and in the class he mentioned that we should be perfect 100% for us to go back home, back to Godhead. So, and then he finished the class, and when he got up from the Vyasasana, and he said, even if we are 90% perfect, we can go back home, back to Godhead. Then he offered obeisances to the deities, and when he got up from offering obeisances, he said that even 80% is good enough. Then he was walking towards the car, and when he was walking towards, he said that even if somebody is 70% perfect in Krishna consciousness, he can go back home, back to Godhead. And then when he was about to enter the car and sit in the car, he said, even 60% of Krishna consciousness perfection is good enough for us to go back home, back to Godhead. So all we need to all focus on is not about perfection, is all about purity. If our purity of intention, if our purity of heart is intact, that is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. Unlike what materialistic thinks, that perfection is about presenting it perfectly externally and not to worry about what is internally happening. So this whole world is centered around looking beautiful, whilst we as Krishna conscious devotees need to focus on being one. Thank you, Maharaj, for your highlighting that point.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. I have a question regarding Vaishnava Aparadha, and you said that even the thinking bad about some devotee is not recommended in like a material life, we can do that, but not in a devotee life. So Prabhuji, some devotees, they have their personal agenda, and for that, they are using the Krishna conscious movement. They are preaching in ISKCON using Srila Prabhupada's movement and saying that we are serving Srila Prabhupada's movement. And actually they have their own personal agenda and they are using the moment for that. So for that we have to say something. If we keep quiet, this thing will go on. You cannot stop that. But for stopping that, you have to say something, and immediately if you say something, they feel offended. So what to do with that, Prabhuji?
Okay, I have 3 points to answer this. Anytime we are in a preaching movement, we have lots of responsibilities, and as a part of the responsibility, we definitely need to, you know, do some tough services like what you just said. So my first realization is, if you are empowered, enabled to do that service, you're allowed to challenge, you're allowed to question, you're allowed to investigate. And the reason why you are enabled is because the expectation is you will be sure enough not to involve your own quotients and try to do this under the order of the spiritual master. For example, chastisement from the spiritual master towards the disciple is meant for the disciple's upliftment. Chastisement to another person is to save Krishna's and spiritual master's property. So that service to chastise or fix somebody is not everybody's job. It is somebody who need to be enabled to do that, somebody who need to be empowered to do that. Second, for us to challenge, chastise, for us to fix somebody does not mean that we need to disrespect them, in the sense that we need not bring in our quotient to say, I am great, you are small. That propensity is never going to help us, because in the process of challenging or chastising somebody, we should not get trapped. And third and most important thing is that when we try to execute such services, we always try to do that services under the direction and the association of experienced devotees, because they will help us to fight this out. If we try to independently do it, then probably we need to be extra cautious about it, because there are situations where there are mistaken identity and there are situations where exploitation has happened. So both have happened, so hence it is a pretty tricky situation. That's why bhakti is walking on the razor's edge. So we need to be careful at every moment. The point that Maharaj just mentioned a few minutes before is we should never become victim of a familiarity disease, because we try to become complacent and familiar with certain things and try to assume that now because I'm in this movement for the past 25 years and 29 years, I'm equipped enough to face out the situation and hence let me do whatever I want to do. So the whole message about Vaishnava Aparad is that we are always careful and conscious, and if it is given as a service to us, we go full throttle, but not include 1% of our quotient into that, and just always remember that I am doing this under the order of my spiritual master and definitely take responsibility of that action. So with that frame of mind, we are supposed to handle them. Yes, we need to act on it. We should not let Srila Prabhupada's movement go in drain, but that is not just a reason for us to act whimsically. So being careful, being conscious, and being introspective is very important. That is why I always suggest a formula called honest, guided introspection. In this, any one variable is missing, we will be in trouble. If you are guidedly introspecting but not honest, it's not going to help. If you are honestly introspecting but not guided, it is not going to help. If you are honest and also getting guidance, but if you are not introspecting, it's not going to help. So honest, guided introspection will help us in doing every service, whether it is tough or the easy ones. Hope I am making sense.
Yes, Prabhuji, it makes sense, but not fully. still some questions are remaining. So maybe.
I mean, the point is that yes, we are supposed to definitely challenge those people who are, you know, exploiting the global movement. And if they are really exploiting, by the happening, not for the right of us. That challenge should be taken up as a part of our service. We are empowered with, not because of our own pride and you know, position, is what I was trying to say. So when somebody does it in terms of challenging a person who tried to exploit Srila Prabhupada's movement, who tried to use Krishna, who tried to use Srila Prabhupada, should definitely be, you know, shown stick. But that should come from our devotion corner, not from our pride and ego illusion corner. It's a very thin line between coming from our devotional sentiments versus coming from our personal agenda. So we fixing somebody's personal agenda should not be our personal agenda, should be our devotional agenda, is what I am trying to say. Because sometimes we get mixed up with our personal agenda. That is why Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, it is very nicely explained in a book called Vaishnava Ke by Jayapataka Maharaj. Vaishnava Ke is a song by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada gives a purport and Jayapataka Maharaj has given a, you know, full purport for all the songs. In that, one of the purports, it is explained that there is a creeper which looks exactly like Bhakti Lata, but it is not Bhakti. So in the process of devotional life, we need to be careful enough, under the careful guidance of a bona fide devotee, we should learn to uproot the weed rather than the Bhakti Lata, which is look-alike the weed. So the point is, in our devotional life, there are a lot of activities which looks like Krishna consciousness. So we need to differentiate look-alike Krishna consciousness versus Krishna consciousness that is possible under the able guidance, and hence devotional journey is walking on the razor's edge. So it's tough, it's very important, at the same time we have to be very, very careful. Hope I'm making sense.
Prabhu, very, very mature point you made. One thing I would like to share, that in ours is a path of pure devotional service, and we forget that what we are aspiring, what realization we aspire. So oftentimes on the surface, we see that this is devotee, this is not devotee, I am devotee. The whole idea of the sadhana bhakti is to give us this depth that main bhakti hi nahi ban paya. To think that I have become a devotee and then now I have the authority to judge that he is not devotee and that not devotee. But our acharyas teach us, Nautumdas Thakur teaches us, Bhaktivinoda Thakur teaches us, that in spite of so much, after so much sadhana, their absorption is ki Prabhu mein aapka bhakti hi nahi ban paya. I am suffering with so many anathas, unwanted things. If I had become your devotee, then I would have attained you. So their hankering is of different kind. They are helping all of us that this the sense that I have become devotee is very dangerous. Our journey is still, in whose eyes we want to be considered devotees? In the eyes of Krishna, in the eyes of other advanced devotees. But if I think I am devotee in my eyes, then I am satisfied with me and I will not progress. Rather, I will think that I am authorized to think that others are not because I am devotee. I am satisfied with me. But in the love which we are aspiring to attain Krishna, this atripti, if we become satisfied with myself or oneself, then we lose the vast ocean of achievement which is we are depriving ourselves by becoming satisfied with myself and thinking that I have become authorized to see others need help. Actually, I need most help. And without that attitude, we are far, far cry away from the real thing which Mahaprabhu has come, Srila Prabhupada has come to give us. So we cannot take it lightly. It is a serious thing. It's a complete transformation which we must aspire. And when that transformation takes place, then our sight, our attitude, everything changes. Everything becomes totally transformed, which is yet to come in our life. So we have to be very, very cautious about what we talk, what we think, and what actions we take. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna. I am sorry, just in case if I did not fully respond to that question. Is there any other question or any further thoughts on that?
No, Prabhu, you covered your answer was complete. Actually, the three aspects, the authority and the intent which you included, it's a very, very spot on. Because even if I may be incomplete, but if my authority tells me to do something, then I can just follow the order. But on my own, it could be very reactive. You know, like Arjuna, on the order of Krishna, he killed so many, but he remain unimplicated. But without the order of Krishna, even if he's not fighting, would have implicated him.
Like, yes. Thank you, Maharaj. Any other questions or comments? Okay, thank you very much for engaging in this service. All glory Srila Prabhupada, Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji and Maharaj, for wonderful coming in class. It will be our obeisances to all the devotees.